Are you ready?
Yeah!
Let's get ready to
rock this joint!
Welcome to your source for the best sports talk on University of Michigan football and basketball, Detroit sports, and the best national sports headlines. This is the Stone Cold Sports Truth.
And that's the bottom line for Stone Cold.
And now, the man who will be providing you with his vast knowledge of the world of sports, Derek Stone.
Good morning and welcome to the Stone Cold Sports Truth. I am your host, Derek Stone. You can follow me on Twitter at SC Sports Truth. That's SC as in the initials of Stone Cold and then Sports Truth. Or you can follow me on my website at stonecoldsportstruth.net. If you'd like to join in the conversation at any point during the program today, the phone number, as always, is 734-822-1600. I'm going to be continuing my discussion of my 100 greatest moments in Detroit sports and University of Michigan football and basketball history. So without further ado, let's get back into the discussion. Today I'm leading off with what happened on June 21st, 1988. That was when Detroit Tigers shortstop Alan Trammell hit a walk-off grand slam to lead the Tigers to a 7-6 win over the New York Yankees.
Here's a 3-2 pitch. Long drive! This could be! It is a grand slam! Tigers win!
Alan Trammell certainly was a heck of a player for the Detroit Tigers. He was a beloved fan favorite for many years, actually throughout his entire career. He and his partner in crime, Lou Whitaker, playing shortstop and second base, respectively. They were quite a tandem for many great years for the Tigers. And it's always great that the Tigers can get a walk-off win, especially against the hated New York Yankees, also known as the Evil Empire, because the Yankees are the winningest Major League Baseball franchise in terms of World Series wins. They've got 27 all-time. And any time you can beat the Yankees, especially in dramatic fashion, it's always a great feeling. The next moment on my list took place February 23rd, 1989. Detroit Red Wings legend Steve Yzerman set a franchise single-season goal-scoring record by scoring his 56th goal. He finished the season with 65 goals, which is the franchise single-season goal-scoring record. Yzerman was a great goal-scoring player early in his career, but he was lacking the defensive side. But it was great to see him doing so many great things for the Red Wings in the 80s when the Red Wings were trying to get back to relevancy after so many years of not making the playoffs and not competing for Stanley Cups. It was a lot of fun watching Yzerman grow up throughout the 80s and into the 90s when the legendary head coach Scotty Bowman came along and taught the Red Wings how to win. Play the team game. Play both ways. That's what made it so special for the Red Wings in the 90s when Yzerman was able to play both offense and defense and to give him supplementary players to help him out, like Sergei Fedorov and Brendan Shanahan, Kirk Maltby, Darren McCarty, Chris Draper, Mike Vernon, Chris Osgood, and, of course, the legendary Hall of Fame defenseman Nicholas Lidstrom. The next moment on my list took place April 1st, 1989. University of Michigan basketball forward Sean Higgins made the game-winning shot with 2 seconds left against Illinois to send the U of M men's basketball team to the national championship game.
Pressure from Illinois against the ball. Quickly they get it up in Robinson's hands. Fisher barks a command at him from the sideline. He's going to go ahead and play for the last shot. No timeout. They set the play. Robinson If they can hit it, they'll go to the championship. Mills outside the three. It's Higgins. The win.
What an excellent moment in U of M basketball history. They don't have the rich tradition, obviously, like the University of Michigan football program, but that was one of their defining moments in their program's history. The Wolverines basketball program, they had some great success in the 60s and 70s, but couldn't quite knock on the door and win a national championship, especially in 1976 when they lost in the national championship game to their Big Ten rival, the Indiana Hoosiers. This was a very special team indeed. There were so many NBA players on this Wolverines team. Not only Higgins, but Glenn Rice, Ramil Robinson, Mark Hughes, Loy Vaught, and Terry Mills, who had many great years in the NBA, primarily as a three-point shooter, and he had some excellent moments as a member of the Detroit Pistons. And Glenn Rice was on fire during the NCAA tournament in 1989, winning the most outstanding player for the tournament, scoring 184 points in six games, a better than 30 points per game average. He was excellent during the Wolverines' championship run, but it couldn't have been done without Sean Higgins lending a helping hand. April 3rd, 1989, just 2 days after that game-winning shot by Sean Higgins, the University of Michigan basketball guard Ramil Robinson made both of his free throws with 3 seconds left in overtime against Seton Hall to give the U of M men's basketball team their first and only national championship. Some people say, well, I should say a lot of people say that the foul on Robinson shouldn't have been called. It was kind of maybe a ticky-tack play, but the referee thought there was enough contact to warrant a foul. So you got to give the referee credit for being able to say that there is enough contact that would warrant a foul in that situation, because normally the referees, they're going to let the players decide the game. But if there is an egregious foul that needs to be called, then they're going to call it. And you got to give Ramil Robinson credit for hitting those free throws, because he actually was not a very good free throw shooter throughout his entire career with U of M. Those were very clutch free throws for Mr. Robinson. June 11th, 1989. Detroit Pistons guard Joe Dumars blocked a shot by Los Angeles Lakers guard David Rivers in the final 10 seconds of Game 3 in the NBA Finals to preserve the Pistons' win. This was an unbelievable play by Dumars. It looked like Rivers was going to have an easy attempt at the basket, but Dumars just came out of nowhere, lunged for the ball and knocked it and blocked it, and then he managed to save the ball from going out of bounds. And the Pistons, they hit their free throws and managed to ice the game and win, ended up winning the NBA title. And actually, that's my next moment on my list. June 13th, 1989, the Detroit Pistons won their first NBA title in team history when they defeated the Los Angeles Lakers 105-97. This was retribution for the Detroit Pistons. Remember what happened in the 1988 NBA Finals. That phantom foul on Bill Laimbeer, one of the best Pistons players in franchise history during that era. He was an integral part of those bad boys teams. Unfortunately, Laimbeer was called for that stupid foul on the legendary Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Game 6 of the 88 NBA Finals, with the Pistons leading in the final minute and on the cusp of winning their first NBA title. And legend has it that some of the Pistons players went into the Lakers locker room after the Lakers had won the title in 88, and they stole some of their champagne because they felt, the Pistons that is, they felt the Lakers did not deserve that title. But Unfortunately, the Lakers ended up winning that title, which made the 89 title all the much more sweeter for the Pistons, being able to keep that hunger and win their first ever NBA title in franchise history. If you'd like to join in the conversation, the number is 734-822-1600. The next moment on my list took place June 7th, 1990, when Detroit Pistons center Bill Laimbeer tied an NBA Finals single-game record by hitting 6 three-pointers in Game 2 against the Portland Trail Blazers. I really thought the Pistons were destined to win this game, the way Laimbeer just kept hitting three-pointers at will in this game. Laimbeer was a decent three-point shooter during his time, but nothing like this. This was obviously the best three-point shooting game of his career, and it couldn't happen on a bigger stage than the NBA Finals. But unfortunately, the Pistons lost by a point in overtime, but they ended up winning the NBA title. And the next moment on my list took place June 10th, 1990, when Detroit Pistons guard Joe Dumars scored 33 points in Game 3 of the NBA Finals against Portland after his father died before the game started. Dumars was obviously playing with a heavy heart. He knew his father was on the verge of dying, and he went out and honored his memory in a great way. Only the way his father would want him to do, by playing a great game in the NBA Finals. And Dumars did that, consistently hitting the open shot from the perimeter throughout that game and leading the Pistons to a win in Portland. The next moment on my list took place June 14th, 1990, when Detroit Pistons guard Vinnie Johnson, also known as the Microwave, made the championship-clinching shot with 0.7 seconds left in Game 5 of the NBA Finals against Portland.
Here's Isaiah. Well, they're going to run the clock all the way down. Now, everyone's on the baseline, so they're in a 1-4 set. That way, if Thomas beats his man, someone will have to pick him up. There's the pick out. Vinnie Johnson with 1 second to go. His shot is good!
That is Vinnie Johnson's greatest shot of his career. He had many great moments, obviously, throughout his Pistons career. They called him the Microwave because he could score points in bunches in a hurry. But that definitely was his greatest moment, giving the Pistons the second of their back-to-back NBA titles and their second championship in team history. And that was certainly an excellent moment, especially because the fact that the Pistons were down by 7 points in that game with about 2 minutes left, and they finished the game on a 9-0 run. It looked like the Pistons would have to come back to the Palace of Auburn Hills to try to clinch the NBA title, which would have been cool. But you always have to close out a team if you have the opportunity. And the Pistons did that on the road in Portland. The next moment on my list took place August 25th, 1990, when Detroit Tigers first baseman Cecil Fielder hit a home run off of Oakland Athletics pitcher Dave Stewart that went over the left field roof at Tiger Stadium.
Long drive, deep left field, this is on the roof, over the roof, gone, home run for Cecil.
Cecil Fielder, he had to be one of the greatest bargains ever in Detroit Tigers history. He really wasn't known as a premier home run hitter at all in his career up to that point. He was with the Toronto Blue Jays in the 80s, and he was on that Blue Jays team that lost to the Tigers on the final day of the 1987 regular season when the Tigers clinched a playoff spot. Remember that game when Tigers pitcher Frank Tanana pitched a complete game shutout? Cecil Fielder made his name with the Tigers in a big way. He He had many mammoth home runs during his career, and he had 51 home runs during that 1990 season. The next moment also features Cecil Fielder. September 14th, 1991, Fielder hit a home run off of Milwaukee Brewers pitcher Dan Plesac that went out of Milwaukee County Stadium.
Oh, look at this!
Forget it. That might be out of the whole stadium.
It may be. It is.
It went out of everywhere, right on over the top.
Cecil Fielder with a monstrous 41st home run.
Nothing more really can be said that I haven't already said about Cecil Fielder. He provided Tigers fans with many great monstrous home runs, and this one was a great encore to his home run that went out of Tigers Stadium the previous season. The next moment on my list took place September 14th, 1991, also the same day as that Fielder home run, when University of Michigan football wide receiver Desmond Howard made a diving 25-yard touchdown catch on a 4th-and-1 against Notre Dame.
Go back to fire for it. They went for it all. A diving catch for a touchdown. Holy cow. Would you believe this?
That was a gutsy call by the Wolverines head coach at that time, Gary Moeller. With the Wolverines only up by 3 in the fourth quarter of that game, he decides to go for it all, go for the jugular. And what a great play it was. Desmond Howard got the separation he needed and made a beautiful diving catch. And Elvis Gerbach, the Wolverines quarterback, put it right where it needed to be, where only Howard could get it. If you'd like to join in the conversation, the phone number is 734-822-1600. November 23rd, 1991, Desmond Howard once again. He did the Heisman Trophy pose after returning a punt 93 yards for a touchdown against Ohio State.
Tim Williams in the punt, averaging just under 38 on 44 kicks this year. Nice high kick, got a little wind under it. And it runs Howard back. Look at that.
Hello, Heisman, indeed. A great play call there by the legendary Keith Jackson with the call there on that play. Keith Jackson, he is the best play-by-play college football commentator in the history of college football. He always showed up for the Wolverines' biggest games. And even though this game was a stinker, the Wolverines ended up winning this game 31-3. His call of that play certainly made it memorable. And Howard made his Heisman pose because he knew that, in fact, he would end up winning the Heisman because he was such a heavy favorite going into that final game against Ohio State. And he punctuated his Heisman Trophy winning season with that play. The next moment on my list took place November 24th, 1991, when Detroit Lions legend Barry Sanders set a franchise single-game record with 4 rushing touchdowns. Sanders was arguably the best player in Lions franchise history, and on this day, he was truly exceptional, scoring those 4 rushing touchdowns. He actually finished 1 touchdown shy of 100 career touchdowns. But this had to be his most memorable game. You might think when he set a single game franchise record for rushing yardage. No, I think you have to take into account obviously being able to score with the football. And he did on this day. As well as he ran the ball very well too. December 17th, 1991, University of Michigan football wide receiver Desmond Howard became the first U of M player to win the Heisman Trophy since Tom Harmon in 1940. The next moment on my list took place January 5th, 1992, when the Detroit Lions destroyed the Dallas Cowboys, so-called America's team, by a score of 38-6 for the only Lions playoff win since 1957. I wish the Lions could have won more playoff games since that time, but unfortunately, the Lions have been forever cursed by their legendary quarterback, Bobby Lane, when, apparently, after he left the Lions in the 50s, he said, "You will never win another title for more than 50 years." And here we are, almost 60 years later, and the Lions still have not won a title of any sort, NFL or Super Bowl. But hopefully, with the new Lions management, it will turn around this season, but I'm not going to hold my breath. January 1st, 1993. University of Michigan football running back Tyrone Wheatley ran 88 yards for a touchdown on the opening offensive play of the second half in the Rose Bowl against the Washington Huskies.
Wheatley with a crease. Wheatley to the 35, 40. Wheatley could explode. He's a former state sprint champion. He'll score. Woo!
That was a truly exciting play. The Wolverines offensive line parted the Red Sea on that play, as I like to call it, opening up a huge hole up the middle for Wheatley to run through, and he did the rest. Like Brent Musburger said on making the call on that play, Wheatley was definitely indeed a former track sprint champion. And Dick Vermeil, his color commentary partner on that play, I just love his expression after Wheatley scored the touchdown. Woo! That made that play so memorable. If you'd like to join in the conversation, the phone number is 734-822-1600. October 23rd, 1993. University of Michigan football wide receiver Derek Alexander caught a 90-yard touchdown pass against the Illinois Fighting Illini, which is the longest touchdown reception in school history. Alexander was mainly known as the possession receiver during his career with the Wolverines. He didn't have that explosive ability like Desmond Howard, his counterpart with him at that time. But he sure made a name for himself on this play, going 90 yards for the score. And I see there is a phone call here on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and take this phone call. Caller, you're on the air on the Stone Cold Sports Truth.
Well, Mr. Stone Cold, good early morning to you. You just finished talking about that awesome play by Tyrone Wheatley. I just wanted to highlight that Michigan team happened to be undefeated that year. Three ties, but except for the 97 team, I think that was the only Michigan team that was undefeated in the last century. Do you know anything about that?
Yep, I do actually remember that team, yeah, going undefeated, 9-0-3 that season. And yeah, that was an excellent team that year. Unfortunately, they didn't have overtime in place at that time. The Wolverines maybe could have gone undefeated, but we'll never know. But the Wolverines, I remember, did finish fifth in the Associated Press poll that year. It was an excellent team to watch, and they were a lot of fun to watch, too, especially Tyrone Wheatley. He provided so many memorable runs during his career with the Wolverines, and that one against Washington had to be the greatest of them all.
Well, but I have to say, that one was so much more sweeter because of the bad defeat they faced against Washington the year before. Yeah. Them avenging that, I think, made people take that team for real.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I know you got to go, Derek. Yep. Have a great day.
All right, well, thank you very much for your call. Wow, what another great program here today. Thank you for joining me here on the Stone Cold Sports Truth. You can follow me on Twitter at SC Sports Truth. That's SC, as in the initials of Stone Cold, and then Sports Truth. Or you can follow me on my website at StoneColdSportsTruth.net. On next week's program, I will be continuing my discussion of my top 100 moments in Detroit sports and University of Michigan football and basketball history. So don't miss a minute of it next week, right here on the Stone Cold Sports Truth. I'll talk to you then.